Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a magic wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the magic wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my magic wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago. Because now there are multiple iterations of the magic wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the magic wand rechargeable, tiny with the magic wand mini, or micro. Micro's really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. Okay, real talk. We all have embarrassing moments in the bedroom, you know, like gas, bloating, indigestion, and more. And I hear from so many of you with stomach issues, and it's keeping you from the pleasure you so rightly deserve. Well, I got some great news. While studies show that gut issues directly impact our arousal, erections, and overall sexual health, I got a game changer for your overall wellness. Introducing Just Thrive Probiotic. It is my secret weapon for overall health and the fuel for my sex life. Just Thrive Probiotic isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is a clinically proven game changer, a gut superhero designed to up-level your passion and sex life. So no more embarrassing moments, only a life of gut-powered ecstasy. That sounds good, right? It's the first probiotic formulated with four ancestral survival strains, clinically guaranteed to reach your gut 100% alive. This probiotic is like your personal gut gardener, maintaining the health of your gut by eliminating bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and replenishing the good, making it a game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, and even your mood. With Just Thrive, you'll nourish your gut microbiome, fueling your mind, body, and soul. So say hello to increased libido, enhanced pleasure, and a whole new level of satisfaction. Oh, don't miss my episode, Why Gut Health is Sexy with Tina Anderson, where you can learn more about this groundbreaking company. For a limited time, you can try Just Thrive 100% risk-free by visiting justthrivehealth.com and enter promo code SEXWITHEMILY at checkout to save 20% off on a 90-day bottle of Just Thrive probiotic. So take charge of your gut health, take charge of your sex life, and live your healthiest life yet with Just Thrive.
What happens is we postpone all these conversations till they're not only walking on eggshells, they're walking on minefields. And what we really should do is have a check-in once a week about what's unfinished, what's not communicated, so it's not like some big bomb you're dropping.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. Today's episode, we hear from listeners dealing with varying degrees of deception in their relationship. Do you know that about 40% of unmarried couples and 25% of marriages see at least one incident of infidelity? Really, this is true. 70% of all Americans will cheat at some point. So what do we do about it, right? And I know you might not want to hear this, but even if we are repeatedly cheated on by partners, I hear a lot of you email or call and say, oh, well, my last four partners cheated on me. Well, guess what the common denominator is here? It's you. So we're going to help you recognize some signs. Later on in the episode, I'm joined by Dr. Jennifer Fried, a renowned psychological astrologer, and we dissect what the why in people cheat. And I'm going to give you a hint. It's not about the sex. We talk about other ways people betray their partners and how to just avoid it in your relationship. And I take your calls, answer your questions. And if you want to ask me about sex or dating or relationships, call my show Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. And that number, write this down, it's 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, is 888-947-8277. All right, intentions with Emily. For each episode, let's set an intention together. I do it. I encourage you to do the same. So when you're listening, what do you want to get out of this episode? Maybe it's, I'm a cheater and I want to find out how to stop cheating. Well, my intention is to help you recognize the signs, dispel all the myths about cheating, and show you how you could stop the cycle and repair your relationship. And our first call today is Bertha. She really sets the tone for the episode. All right, enjoy the show. Let's talk to Bertha, 50, in California. Hey, Bertha, what's going on?
It's like, what isn't going on? It's like a soap opera.
Yeah. Oh, tell me.
Anyway, I met this guy. He lived across the street from me at the time. And my dog had gotten attacked. And he seemed nice. He was like a mailman. And he told me he was on vacation, so he'd help me take care of my dog since he got attacked and he needed care. And I had to work, and I didn't have vacation left. So I thought, oh, he's so sweet. And so then he tells me, oh, he's in the process of getting divorced. And he's been living without her for 2 years. So I start seeing him because he lived across the street. It was convenient. And I thought he was nice. And I believed all his stories. But anyway, so I called the Dr. Laura show. And she told me to run because he's still vested in his other relationship. And I didn't listen because I was going through health issues, and he was like comfort, at least someone that lived right across the street. And if I felt sick or something, I could. Anyways, 4.5 years later, apparently he's been seeing his ex this whole time. I don't think he ever got divorced. He has never really told me the truth about that. But so I went to church because the kids were going to be busy one Sunday, like a few weeks ago. And he's sitting there with this lady, and I don't recognize her at the beginning, but then I realize it's his ex.
Wow.
And I go up, I was like, I need to face this because every time I mention something's off to him, he always says it's in my head and I'm paranoid and blah, blah, blah. And so
gaslighting.
I went up to him and I said, oh, I think we need to talk. And I rubbed on his shoulder, and she didn't even look at me. And he acted like he didn't even know me. It was like crazy. And the look on his face was just, it's not even that he was with somebody else. It's just the look on his face, like he didn't want to acknowledge me kind of look.
Wow. So
it broke my heart. Instantly, I felt sick. But I still went into the church. I was wearing my mask. So there was nobody sitting next to her and him. So I walked up to where they were sitting, and I said out loud in front of everyone, I said, maybe we should sit together since we're all sleeping together.
And you go, Bertha.
And he acted like he didn't even respond. She's the one that said, oh, we're coworkers. And then I figured it out that that's his ex, because I never really met her up close. She always was driving by and she had tinted windows. But he made up a story about why he was with her. Oh, I'm just comforting her because her sister passed away or something, which isn't true, because right afterward, she started spending the night. And then he's still trying to get me to be with him. I don't get it.
Wow.
And he's like master manipulator, obviously.
Sounds like it. Yes. And yes. Wow. I'm Bertha, like, when did this happen?
I can't even believe it. Like 2 weeks ago.
Okay, yeah. Wow, Bertha. So for 4.5 years, were you guys committed?
Well, I thought we were.
Well,
I thought we were. He would spend, at the beginning, he would spend a lot of time with me. And then I was looking on YouTube and seeing that that's what narcissists do. That he's a narcissist, and apparently I'm an empath and a codependent.
Yeah, that's what they do. They really try to make you feel safe, and they court you, but then everything's confusing, and then he gaslights you. So by saying you're wrong, or that didn't happen, or you didn't see it.
That too, and I have
I'm so sorry, Bertha.
I live on the same street, so now I have to see him all the time. Even I can't, like, every time I try to break up with him, it's been like 70 times. He went to my house, then he goes and apologizes and makes me feel bad. Like, I feel guilty, you know?
Wow.
And
this is really unhealthy.
For 4.5 years.
Oh, my God. I would do everything you can just to cut him, to cut contact. I would block his number. I've tried.
We live on the same street.
Yeah, but you could still block his number. I know you see him, but I would block him. I would get people in place to kind of help you avoid being with him, make sure that you have plans and that you're keeping busy and stuff. And it is very, I mean, this is such a, you know, I'm sure you're learning a lot. You're still in the process. It just happened 2 weeks ago, but you kind of knew, right? We always know. And then we like, why didn't I listen? Because it felt so good.
At the beginning, I had a feeling like, you know, like the first 60 seconds, how you have a feeling about people like,
yes.
Oh, he's an asshole. Oh, he's a jerk. Oh, he's... You know, that kind of feeling. And like the first 60 seconds, that's what I thought. But I didn't really listen to it because I was going through stuff. So I thought it would be better to have somebody around if I needed to go to the hospital.
No, I understand that. But then it just wasn't serving you. So then it was more like you, a neighbor, it's easy and all that. So I feel like, you know, the important thing now to do is just to distance yourself as much as you can and try to learn what it was about this that first didn't allow you to trust yourself. What about your past relationships? Was there anything like this in your past?
My past, I never really had serious relationships where I dated someone for a long time. I would just meet someone and it's like I would fall in love and get married. I never really dated.
Well, this is your new lesson right now, right? I think that you move really quick and not trusting your gut. I think things have to happen enough times to us where we finally learn our lessons. And it sounds like you're ready now. I also think therapy would be great for you because there might be other ways in your life.
I actually went to therapy with him.
With him?
He went with me to a therapist because he was saying that I was the paranoid one and the jealous one and everything was in my head. So I was like, maybe I should go to therapy. And I went to a therapist, and she told me I should take cognitive classes. And the whole time we were there, he didn't say a word. He was just listening.
Well, because he's a master manipulator, because this is what he does. He's really good at manipulating. He's been doing this his whole life. Maybe he did it with his mother or siblings. To get his way, it was an adaptive personality trait. And there's something in that for you, too, that's probably familiar from your childhood, too, that people told you couldn't trust your reality.
I was like the second oldest out of eight, and I was like the mother to my brothers and sisters.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that there's a lot there, you know? So I'm really sorry this happened, Bertha. I really hope that you can now find a therapist and like stick to, you know, go every week and just make a commitment to yourself that you're going to make better decisions.
I've been to therapy and they make it seem like it's me. I need cognitive classes.
CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, is for people who have negative thoughts and trying to stop the conditioning around certain behavioral patterns and stuff. I don't know. Maybe that's helpful, but I wouldn't recommend that to you. I think you got to find a good therapist who, I love EMDR therapy because that helped me realize it. I had this very similar thing in my upbringing. I do the same thing, to be honest, in a level of I don't trust sometimes myself and I too easily trust other people. And I doubt my own things.
I
do that too. And then I realize
the best in everybody.
Yes. I believe that everyone's innocent until proven guilty. There's some people like, everyone's guilty. Everyone's a crook. I'm like, everyone's great. And then being a pleaser, sometimes I just say yes to people and then I let myself get taken advantage of. And so what I realized, which I never unpacked, and again, I've been in therapy for 25 years on and off. It was actually a very formative person in my home growing up that repeatedly gaslighted me, told me that I was wrong, told me that everything I did wasn't, and I didn't even remember it. And there's something about releasing that and noticing it. I'm so much more careful now with people. I ask questions. I trust my gut because I just saw it. I'm like, oh God, it's not only with my family, it's with work and it's with people that I work with, I trust. So anyway, I would say that this is a great turning point for you, Bertha, that you're never done learning. I would keep trying to find a therapist that could help you. You know, ask friends if they've had good therapy that might be good for you, because I think that it would really, not only will it help you figure out your patterns, but it will also help you heal and make better decisions in the future. And the other thing about therapy is it's so rewarding. It really is moving through things and realizing like, I am no longer that. And I feel like it will be so good for you right now. And I don't think it's CBT, so cognitive behavioral therapy. Okay, Bertha.
But, yeah.
Now, this guy, I mean, he is likely a narcissist, a master manipulator, which is also can be a personality trait. You know, he's done it before. He's still doing it right now. So joining me now is psychological astrologer, Dr. Jennifer Fried. Why do you think people cheat, Jen? If you had to say.
Well, I think that there's as many reasons as there are people, but the two main reasons that I've seen over time is that people are in their original sexual relationships out of just being completely gaga and thrilled and feeling sexually affirmed and feeling the most attractive person on earth. And I think a lot of people go outside their relationship when they feel rejected, ignored, or unwanted by their partner. And instead of really addressing that or dealing with that, somebody else sparks that old feeling of being wanted and desired, and it becomes irresistible. That's one reason. I think another reason is unspoken resentments, that people in relationships stop really working through conflict. It goes underground, and then people act out on each other as a way of expressing their anger and discontentment.
Yeah,
but what do you think, Emily?
I think that you're right. I think a lot of times things are reminiscent of, like, a lot of people I know who have had affairs personally, not just even our callers, but I think you nailed it with the somebody makes you feel desired and wanted. And I think we all want that. And that's that light, that early on in a relationship, those feelings where all your feel-good hormones are racing and you get that excitement. It wanes after a while. It really does. And then if you see somebody else who desires you and wants you, it's just intoxicating like nothing else. So I agree with you on that. Yeah, I mean, Jen, you nail it. Unspoken resentments when people can't communicate and things build up over time and then they cheat because they feel, well, my partner didn't do all these things. They're having a one-way battle. They're waging a one-way battle with their partner and they just think, well, I deserve this, or they justify it in some way. Well, it's funny because I used to think early on that people cheated because it was about sex. But what I found out in all these years, it's very rarely just about sex. And I think it's ego and feeling elevated by somebody else. So I think you're right. I mean, sometimes maybe there's a fetish that can't be met. I'm trying to add to your list, but I think resentments are what tear us apart, even if you don't cheat.
Yeah. And I think that Esther Perel, I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yes.
I know her. I like her. She made a great point, which is that in North America, cheating is the ultimate betrayal, and it gets all this mileage, and every TV show has a cheater, and it's like cheating, cheating. But she says what we don't pay enough attention to is that there are so many betrayals that don't get a lot of airtime, and the cheater or the cheating is the one that gets all the mention. But in relationship over time, betrayals can be on all kinds of fronts. I work with people who feel betrayed because their partner won't make an effort with their side of the family. People come to me sometimes and they feel so betrayed because the person's on the phone all the time instead of paying attention to them when they used to come to the door and be ecstatic to see them. Betrayal is, I think, the seed or the root of most people's violating their relationship, period. Mm.
Those are such great examples, Jen. You're absolutely right. And they about money. Maybe they said there was a certain, they had more money than they did, so they can be betrayed about finances. But then the cheating happens and that's all we talk about. Yes, that is so accurate. I'm just listening to you here about these resentments. So what do we do if we're walking around with these resentments? And what do you suggest for people to learn to start to communicate these things, even if it's been a while, to bring it up to a partner?
Well, I think it's really difficult to not have a regular relationship hygiene. So I think what happens is we postpone all these conversations till they're not only walking on eggshells, they're walking on minefields. And what we really should do, and I'm speaking for myself as well in a long-term relationship, is have a check-in once a week about what's unfinished, what's not communicated. So it's not like some big bomb you're dropping, but actually make it a priority to not only say what's going great in the relationship and not make a big deal of it. It could be over dinner once a week, but say, what are some things I'd like to see better?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we do that?
I don't know why, Jen. Is that what you do that in your relationship? Do you have a regular check-in?
Well, we started to under COVID. you know, what's true is we're together all the time now. And, you know, we spend a lot of time in ways we never have before. So we have made it a regular practice. In our case, we're both therapists, but we do it about every 3 days at this point, but we didn't before.
Well, that's so healthy. I mean, because otherwise you said that you're seeing a lot of relationships that are breaking up and that are ending right now because of COVID. I think we haven't seen the fallout, but we're starting to see it now because it's been 7-8 months.
I know so many people right now that are friends and colleagues who are just done. You know, they don't want to look at that face one more minute. And I think some of it's COVID contrived. I think it's just, we were never given the tools to be this smashed together with people. And in any relationship, you like to project and blame problems on the other person because it's much easier than looking at ourselves. But if you're with them all the time, they can easily become the villain in every scenario.
Exactly. And we don't have these skills to, we didn't see COVID coming upon us. We didn't realize that this was going to be the case. Maybe we thought, oh, we'll go to therapy in the future. Oh, I'll talk to them about this another time down the road. And then now there is no escape. Okay, Dr. Jennifer Fried's going to hang out. I'm going to take a quick break. There'll be more Sex with Emily. Thanks everyone for supporting our sponsors. You know, we only work with sponsors that we enjoy ourselves. And I hope you do too. Let's talk to Ian, 40, in Kentucky. Hi, Ian. You're on with Emily and Dr. Jennifer Fried. How can we help you?
Hey, I just got out of a relationship with someone who has been very emotionally unsupportive and very narcissistic and controlling. And we've broken up many times. I've moved out. I've come back. They've been married this whole time to another man, and it's a gay relationship. And, you know, they kept saying they were going to leave their partner. They still haven't done it. And then finally last night was the final straw. I caught them in a lie, red-handed, and they kept denying it and kept denying it. And it's been like that ever since I've known them. They've had drug abuse issues. They've had all these major toxic issues. And I'm not that kind of person. I'm a former personal trainer, and I'm a cosmetologist now. And, you know, I value, like, I feel like the body is sort of my temple, you know, and I like to take care of myself and pamper myself. And they're just like the total opposite. They really abuse themselves a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's really sad to see them go through that. So I just wonder, you know, I have sort of a pattern of being with emotionally unavailable men. And I just wonder, how can I break that pattern?
It's such a great question. Thank you, Ian. I love this question because so many of us repeat these patterns over and over again. It sounds like you're really ready. You're like enough already because, you know, your body is your temple and then you're dating someone who's a drug addict and who's married. So I would say first, have you ever had therapy, Ian? Have you ever looked into anything from your past? Have you looked at your upbringing?
I've had a few therapy sessions back in the day and I'm totally open to therapy. I think it can be a very healthy thing as a tool to help you move forward. For me personally, I feel like that's how I could use it. But I am open to that.
I think that would be really helpful because usually these things have to do with intimacy issues, like challenges around getting really close to somebody. Knowing that someone's not available means that you don't really have to show up in a full way to know, well, this is a fatal flaw. This is how this is going to end. But that's why I say therapy, because there's some deeper work, I think. You know, I used to always think that it was about the people I was dating that was emotionally available, but it turned out I wasn't emotionally available. And so I feel like there's some of that. Jen, what do you think here to help our friend Ian?
Well, Ian, first of all, you're incredibly brave to come on and talk about it. That's always the first step is owning that you keep showing up in the same pattern. So that means it's about you. And then it would be, as you're noting, it would be turning all that rescue energy back to yourself. And like Emily, and there's no accident, we love each other so much. I had very much that same pattern that you have, Ian. And I had to go into therapy and look at my fear of dependency. Because as long as somebody was screwed up and unavailable, I didn't have to worry about my own dependency issues because I was always working on drama. But once I really looked at how terrified I was to be vulnerable and dependent on someone else and own that, I actually brought in a partner that could comfort me and soothe me and not actually abandon me. And I didn't need to abandon them. So I feel, and it was almost about your age, like I really found the love of my life, etc., right about your age. So I have high hopes for you. And it's not about them. Just stop thinking it has anything to do with what he's doing or not doing or whether he's married. It has to do with how is it that Ian keeps playing out the same pattern where he doesn't get intimacy?
Okay, because it's a strange dichotomy for me because I'm very self-aware and I'm highly intuitive. And, you know, I'm Aquarius. My birthday is 2/15, so February 15th. And I can sense when people are being a certain way with me in a relationship. And, you know, it's a put off to me when there's a lot of negativity there. But I've noticed that I'm very independent and I'm very self-sustaining and self-possessed. And I think that's a little intimidating to people sometimes because I feel like I was raised by my mother mostly, who taught me, and who's a Taurus, who taught me how to be independent and stand up for myself. And I'm a lot like her. And I feel like that might have some influence over my relationships, where I just don't want men to get that close because I'm scared to be that vulnerable with them. But also, I've been hurt a lot of times in my relationships. I've always been cheated on in every relationship I've been in. And also, you know, I was very much abused as a child. So I've dealt with a lot of issues related to abuse and sort of people who have sort of a perversion of the mind. And I'm just tired of that cycle of being with people like that and feeling neglected. And it continues to reinforce my frame of mind where I don't want to be dependent on anyone. I don't want to be codependent. Is that wrong?
It's not wrong at all. No, I have to say, I'm sorry. I mean, Ian, thank you so much for sharing all this with us, because it sounds like you really want to figure out how you can take another route, how you could make healthier choices with all that you've been through. I mean, that abuse, I mean, for all those years is really heartbreaking. Until we heal this, we keep repeating patterns. So to me, I know you said you went to therapy a few times, but I believe that if you go into therapy and you commit to it once, you sound like somebody who's driven and you really care about taking care of yourself, that it's going to unlock so many of the answers for you and heal you, like once a week for the next 6 months for sure, I would say. And it sounds you've also had trauma. So I would recommend, you know, EMDR therapy is great for sexual trauma. You can find that in your area. I think before you get into another relationship, that I recommend finding a really good therapist. Like, look around for a therapist like you'd find a surgeon, you know, like a surgeon for your heart. It's an important relationship. What do you think, Jen?
Yeah, I'm so moved and touched by your disclosure. I think far too many men hide their sexual abuse. It's much more widespread than anyone wants to believe. So number one, you're a courageous soul. You sound like a very confident man in other areas of your life. And I would urge you to use that courage and confidence, Ian, to go into therapy and make the agreement with yourself. You will keep going until you feel free of this repeating complex of picking inappropriate people. And I know you will get there if that's your commitment.
Okay.
That's how we change, Ian.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, Ian. Thank you.
I'll follow up with you guys in about 6 months then.
Okay, perfect. Ian, we'll be here for you every night. Please follow up. Thank you, Ian. Thank you for that. Oh, wow, Jen. Even though I've been in and out of therapy my whole life, even in the last 3 years doing this EMDR, I feel changed. Like, I feel like I had patterns as well, and I will never repeat them, you know, and I thought that I had already knew myself and I was already doing the work, but there's always more layers. I wasn't ready for a relationship. I wasn't ready to be vulnerable, you know? So you're never done, but I think that for him to get into it is great advice, Jen. We need it. We do. We all need
therapy. And I want to say, as an EMDR therapist and national consultant with that, what I found is the people that have done the most work and thought about it the most get so much out of EMDR, which is a trauma-based behavioral therapy, because they can go into the body and into the neurological patterns and undo the trauma responses. And that's so different than talk therapy, because we can talk about stuff forever, but it doesn't hit at the cellular level where we were most agonized and traumatized. We've got to get underneath.
We got it right. Exactly. It does rewire your brain. Absolutely. We were talking to Amanda here, our content coordinator, was saying that, she's got her roommates who are picking toxic men as well. So what's going on, Amanda, in your household?
So it's funny because me and my roommates are all very similar. And the reason I'm able to recognize this behavior and their choices is because I've definitely been there. I think in my early 20s, I would chase emotionally unavailable people for the reason that Jen was saying, in that I didn't want to have to do like my own work and my own intimacy issues and try to acknowledge them and work through them and all that. And so when healthy relationships started presenting themselves to me, I got really, really bored really quickly and thought that true love was like full of highs and lows and screaming with like great makeup sex. And I think that like what I'm seeing in my roommates right now is a very similar thing, where they are chasing these emotionally unavailable people, one, because it's exciting and they think that's what love is, but also because they don't want to have to do the work of being emotionally available themselves.
Yeah, it is true. We got to all do the work. And I can't think of another way besides therapy. I'm trying to think if I would have been able to figure out the patterns on my own. But Jen, do you see this too? That, I mean, we don't want to look at ourselves, I suppose. We think we're victims to our life rather than participants to our life.
Well, I'm writing a new book, and one part of the book is the only way to have true personal growth is to work on all four quadrants of self-development. And one of the quadrants is having the right crew. Hmm. And Amanda, you are now one of the right crew for your friends, if they're willing, which is you've got to be around people that will tell it to you like it really is. Because when you are seeking drama as a substitute for love, you can find a lot of people that will be into the oohs and ahs and the roller coaster of it. And, oh, what happened? What did he say? What did she say? And it's just some extraordinary self-indulgent drama fest. But if you have a friend that's willing to say to you, hey, I've seen this little show before and it always ends up the same, and how are you playing this? And how are you contributing to this? You are the common denominator. So instead of getting into the drama, asking process questions. So yes, therapy is great, but Emily, you and I have this friendship. I would never blow smoke up your you know what. Right. I would tell it to you like it is. You're going to tell it to me like it is. And now, Amanda, you're that for your friends if they're willing to listen. Because at some point, you've got to surround yourself with people that keep you accountable instead of just get into the audience watching drama show. You know, you can do that on TV, but our lives are precious. I can't believe how much time people waste in drama. Mm-hmm. Like waste. It's so time consuming.
It's true. It's true. And the people who like love, you also know who these people are, because every time you talk to them, they want to gossip about your friends or they want to talk about other people. I just have no tolerance for that. I don't enjoy it. I can tell right now if someone's talking to you about someone, when you leave, they'll talk about you. So I think just, and I love that, Jen, too, about the four quadrants in your new book. We should mention your recent book, though, Use Your Planets Wisely, is a game changer. It's kind of what helped me understand astrology and my life and the signs in a way that just made sense for the first time. So
it's so funny that you mentioned books, because I was going to say when Jen mentioned crew that was kind of how I started getting into it. One of my friends is getting her PhD in clinical psychology. So over at her apartment, she had all these books on attachment theory, and I picked one of them up and read one of them. And then that slowly started getting passed around my friend group. And so we could have conversations about, we learned the phrase emotionally unavailable, or what attachment theory was, or what intimacy issues are. And so when you have sort of that crew that Jen was referring to, and you're not afraid to have like the hard talks and to initiate the hard talks, you can like really show up for other people and make it part of the language in which you speak to your loved ones.
Yeah. I love that you have this.
And what a richer conversation. I mean, when you're saying that, I get so excited, Amanda, because I think what a richer conversation to talk about our attachment styles instead of what happened at 4 a.m. that we had a blow up fight and saw somebody doing, you know, like that gets old quick to me anyway, but I'm older. It was a little more exciting when I was in my 20s to process and do the debrief on all the bad behavior of the week. I mean, you know, it's like
Right. No, it's true. It's funny though. I feel grateful in my 20s, because I was going through a lot, but I was in therapy. My best friend Mary was also in therapy. And then we'd meet at Whole Foods after our therapy sessions. And we were like 26 years old, I remember. And we'd go through, like, I didn't know that my parents' divorce had this impact. I mean, it was just, I've always kind of gotten off on this stuff. But no matter where you're at, I mean, start there. It is true. You want to find your tribe. You want to find your people.
I want to tell you a really good story. Which is this. I have a number of very close men friends, and this one in particular, happily married for a long time, but he was just so sad because he couldn't really find other men to go deep with, and he felt very alone. Well, then I met this other guy through my work who was one of the loveliest men I've ever met, also straight guy, having a little bit of relationship problems, and I put them together as friends. I said, you guys have to meet. They became best friends, like a total bromance. And then they started a leaderless men's group. And now a number of other men I knew got in this group. So it was like seven men altogether. They would meet once a week for this last year and a half or so, 2 to 3 hours, because these are all men that wanted to go deep. And I swear to God, this is the truth. In every single man's case, their relationships improved by 90%.
Mm.
And why?
Jen, that's amazing.
Because men don't have very many opportunities to go deep with each other and to be called out on stuff. And all these men were longing for that level of intimacy and depth. And like the one guy that was having relationship troubles, he was acting out. He was doing all kinds of horrible things, and they all did an intervention on him. And he went back into therapy, and he cleared some stuff up, and he's now in a really happy, committed relationship. I mean, all sorts of great things happened out of this men's meeting, and it wasn't a therapy session, but it was men that had all done their own therapy. I will say that.
Yeah, you do need that as the precursor. But I love, Jen, you're such a good matchmaker in so many levels. Friends and love, matters of the heart. I would be ready for another fix-up right now. Anyway, but I think that it's true that men don't really have that, don't have that support network. I know men in recovery who do, but not everyday men. I think we need that. And that's why we hear from a lot of men calling to the show as well. Okay, more Sex with Emily after the break. We have Bruce 51 in Canada. Hey, Bruce. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. We're here to help.
Pretty nervous here. I'm the one that's the social or emotional distance one. Like she goes, my wife, we're on the verge of getting divorced almost, and she says, I'm the one that needs to be handheld to be, you know,
emotional.
Here's the situation, and you're not making any decisions, and you're not the one that's take responsibility of your mistakes, and you don't talk, and stuff like that.
Okay. Well, you probably weren't raised in an environment where it was safe or encouraged to talk about your feelings or emotions, which anything
like that would happen. You've got the strap, the belt, the wooden spoon.
Wow, Bruce.
That was lucky. That was the good, the minor stuff.
Bruce, well, that sounds really awful. What a traumatic upbringing that it wasn't safe and then you would be hit. If you grew up in an environment where it wasn't safe, I guess we assume like, oh, well, now I should know how to be emotionally available. No, why would you know, Bruce? You really wouldn't know. And so, and that's why I think this is so helpful that you called in, because this is just makes sense. As we're talking about, we repeat that there was no great models of people expressing their emotions. But so are you saying, Bruce, that you'd be interested in now though, in opening up and kind of learning? Cause I had to learn that too. I was shut down for other reasons. I didn't know how to feel things. And so, you know, would you be open to
it? Like there was sexual abuse as well. Like, and my mom was 16 when she had me and other stuff as well. So.
That's a lot. What a lot to unpack. Yeah, and you're 51 years old, and you want to make your marriage work, yeah?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I'm up for change. Like, I'm always up for improving myself.
Bruce, I'm so glad you called in. I mean, I suggest letting your wife know this too, but you really want to find a good therapist to go talk to. And it might be a trauma therapist because experiencing sexual abuse and emotional and physical abuse are all traumatic experiences. He's 51. Jen, what do you think about?
I think the first step is naming the problem, and you've named it, which is you've had what's called a double bind. You've been taught emotionally that to be vulnerable, you will be hit and hurt. And you've been asked by your wife to be emotionally vulnerable. So there's obviously a deep inner conflict about what feels true and safe. And you need a good environment to work that out. It's too much to think it out. You can't think your way out of this.
Nope.
It's about learning to feel the feelings that you were never allowed to feel. And you're doing that by calling Emily tonight. You picked a really good person. You've got to pick the right person who's just going to say to you, bravo, man, you're starting. You're starting to do this. And one of the feelings I'm hearing you own is you're very, very scared of being abandoned because you haven't been able to meet your wife's needs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah, Bruce. Yeah, it really is scary, you know, but it's never too late to start on your path. And I think it will be, you'll have such relief. I mean, I'm sure you've been in a lot of suffering and pain that you couldn't even figure out what it is, you know, because we become professionals.
Yeah, I just told her about the abuse like 2 years ago. And then like, she knows about my family and the upbringing. Like if for one story, in my town is like, if you got in trouble, the kids would have to go to each family and they'd get hit and it'd all take turns. And, you know, that's how everybody was growing up back then.
Wow, Bruce. That's really, really tough. I mean, I know you laugh, but that sounds awful. I mean, I'm sure everyone in your town who you grew up with is going to need some help with this. And they're probably repeating a lot of the same things, you know, and I'm glad that you let your wife know. How long have you guys been together? How long have you been with your wife?
Married 25, been together almost 30.
Okay. So, and you just let her know about the abuse.
Yeah.
Which is really brave. Really brave.
Yeah.
What did she have to say about that? And would she be supportive of therapy for you?
Yeah. Well, she doesn't believe in therapy because she thinks that we should be able to talk stuff out. But, you know, she said that she's at her end of rope because, you know, I can't make decisions. You know, I go to the store and I can't think, you know, get two eggs and I ask for 12, you know.
Right.
Well, that's called foggy brain. And that is one of the biggest symptoms of long-term unprocessed abuse and trauma. People actually do suffer great indecisiveness because their brain gets taken up with too much trauma and they don't have clear decision-making skills. So again, I'm going to really agree with Emily that you can do therapy on Zoom now, you yourself, because you have had to bury so much pain. That takes up a lot of bandwidth in the brain.
Right.
Yeah, Bruce. And I guess that, you know, maybe your wife doesn't really understand about therapy. I think that some people just think, well, we should be able to do all this, but not after the abuse that you've suffered. There's no way. I mean, you're 51 years old. If you were able to think your way out of it, you would already have done that. Like Jen said, you know, it just, and I can relate to this too. I have decision-making challenges. My brain is filled with sometimes a lot of trauma, a lot of thoughts, and I've had to really work on this as well. And so I totally, my heart goes out to you. And I think that if she wants you to be open and emotive and available, that's the way you have to do it.
Yeah.
Is okay. Finding a therapist. There's really no other way out. And I think it's such a relief once you go and you have a safe space to talk about it.
Great. Thank you.
Of course, Bruce. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. Okay, bye, Bruce.
Bye. What a dear man.
Yeah.
And how many marriages are broken apart because someone didn't get the help they needed, whether it's alcohol or trauma or all the rest? I mean, I'm just so upset lately watching certain friends break up because the one part of the partnership wouldn't get the help they needed.
Yeah. I mean, we're so anti-help, but it's like, that is the answer. There is no other way out. You can't go around it. Can't go over it. Like, you have to go through it. But therapy, I guess it gets such a bad rap, right? People think it's going to be this drudgery and this, you know, means that you're crazy. Or I don't know what the stigmas are that people still hold on to, but it's like
a moral weakness if you need someone else, except for you wouldn't go to yourself for dentistry. You wouldn't go to yourself to get a pap smear. It's like this brain, this organ, this heart, so complex. Like you said, you should think about it as tender as a heart surgery and make sure you're with the right person. I don't have that skill set. I'm one of the smartest people I know and a therapist. I'd never go to myself. I'm a horrible counselor either. For myself.
I would never go to myself. Let me tell you this. I would not go to myself as a therapist because I can't be objective about myself. You think I healed myself? No, I have a therapist. She's been on my podcast. Jen is a therapist friend. I mean, I surround myself with people, and sometimes you pick the wrong people. Believe me, I've gotten taken advantage of. I've made bad decisions, you know, and I just learn. I got to correct these patterns. So yeah, I would not go to, that's funny, but I can help you. I swear to God.
But I think that's true. It's like I'm super gifted with people that even have my same problems, and I can help them because I've got some awareness. But when it comes to us trying to figure out how to undo the trauma done to us, it's like being in a mummy suit and then saying, I don't know why I can't get out of it myself.
Right. Exactly, you know? Jen. That is such a good example. It's like, it's so true. You're like, I mean, I can't tell you how many years I found all my old journals too from like my early 20s and just like, why can't I figure this out? Why can't I focus? But whatever it is, it was like a loop of me trying and writing. And I've always been on the path, but I just couldn't do it until I committed to therapy. Like it was my life depended on it, because it did. And I wouldn't let myself get out of it, even though it was painful. I have a friend who's been wanting to go to therapy, and I finally gave her the name of my therapist, and she went and she paid up front 10 sessions so she would commit. She was like, I won't go. I thought that was great. I mean, it's like paying for your trainer or something to make yourself do something, but it's why I'm here with you. That's why because we've done the work, and same with Jen. It's so true. You know, we're just trying to normalize it. That's why we're talking about it here. We talk about it all. Dr. Jennifer Fried, you can check out her book, Use Your Planets Wisely, her website, jenniferfried.com. She's at Dr. Jennifer Fried on Instagram. Any final thoughts, Jen?
I just want to say, be brave, trust the right people, and we will all heal the trauma we all need to heal.
We will, Jen. You're so right. Thank you for helping us here. Thank you, Jen.
Much love
to you, Jen. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast. And share this with a friend or a partner. Believe me, if you got something out of it, they will too. We release shows on Tuesdays and Fridays, and look out for a bonus episode every now and then. Find me on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all at Sex with Emily. And I've been told I give really good newsletters, so sign up at sexwithemily.com, and don't forget to check out our blogs. If you want to talk to me, ask your questions about your sex life, dating, or relationships, email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com, or call into my SiriusXM show Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, and call me, 888-94-STARS. That's 888-947-8277. Get a free 30-day trial at sexwithemily.com/SXM. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. You can watch my masterclass on masterclass.com/EmilyMorse.